From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Confronting Our Jerichos, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's meditation comes from 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. The thought of David's heart at this time was a false thought, because he certainly had no ground for thinking that God's anointing him by Samuel was intended to be left as an empty, unmeaning act. On no one occasion had the Lord deserted his servant. He had been placed in perilous positions very often, but not one instance had occurred in which divine intervention had not delivered him. The trials to which he had been exposed had been varied. They had not assumed one form only, but many. Yet in every case, he who sent the trial had also graciously ordained a way of escape. David could not put his finger upon any entry in his diary and say of it, Here is evidence that the Lord will forsake me. For the entire tenor of his past life proved the very reverse. He should have argued from what God had done for him, that God would be his defender still. But is it not just in the same way that we doubt God's help? Is it not mistrust without a cause? Have we ever had the shadow of a reason to doubt our Father's goodness? Have not his loving kindnesses been marvelous? Has he once failed to justify our trust? Ah, no. Our God has not left us at any time. We have had dark nights, but the star of love has shone forth amid the blackness. We have been in stern conflicts, but over our head He has held aloft the shield of our defense. We have gone through many trials, but never to our detriment, always to our advantage. And the conclusion from our past experience is that He who has been with us in six troubles will not forsake us in the seventh. What we have known of our faithful God proves that He will keep us to the end. Let us not then reason contrary to evidence. How can we ever be so ungenerous as to doubt our God? Lord, throw down the Jezebel of our unbelief, and let the dogs devour it. In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. The city of Jericho confronted the children of Israel with many things that illustrate moral and spiritual truths for the people of God in every generation. Israel's battles and victories have their counterparts in the lives of individual Christians as well as in the life of the church as a whole. Dr. Cairns is seeking to provide biblical answers for God's people facing obstacles. We've learned that believers face deeply established strongholds of resistance as individuals. Yet it's not the will of God that his people live in a constant state of crisis, but rather that they should know the fullness that is in Christ. Then every worker for Christ will find a Jericho standing in his way. Sinners don't want to hear the gospel. This is true as well of the Church of Jesus Christ, for the world does not welcome the mission of the Church as God's people seek to encompass the strongholds of sin and win the victory for Christ. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, Christians have every reason for rejoicing, for the Lord has assured his people of victory in all these areas, in their personal lives, in their service for Christ, and in the work of the Church. Now to continue this message, Confronting Our Jerichos, here is Dr. Cairns.
The Church's mission is just like the mission that Israel had, as Israel was called to compass Jericho. So the Church of Christ compasses this old world. And that mission will never finish until Revelation 11, verse 15 comes to pass. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Until then, the Church is only compassing the world. That's all it's doing. In that time, we will have the remnant corresponding to the little number of people who were saved in Jericho. We'll have a remnant saved out of Jericho. But it is not the job of the Church to revamp the political and social fabric of the world. Oh, the gospel will have an effect in all those things. It always does. It is our job to compass about this world as Israel compassed Jericho, a testimony to our God who will save His remnant people under that precious red ribbon of blood as He did in Jericho. God will do it. And ultimately, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 will be fulfilled. And God will make the kingdoms of this world His and His Christ's. That leads me to the second observation. And it's this, that not only do we all have our Jerichos in that we face deeply established strongholds of resistance, but the Lord assures His people of victory. I'm going to take very little time in establishing this. But the Lord assures His people of victory. And that's true on a personal level. It's true on the level of service. And it's true ultimately for the whole Church. Now let's understand that. I think one of the great absent themes of the pulpit today is Christian victory. There is so much emphasis on the psychological answer, or should I say, not the answer, but the psychological band-aid that preachers are putting on so many problems, that Christians are, they're so warped in their thinking now, that all they have is this neat little psychological trick for this problem. Whereas the Scripture way is to bring us to the depths of spiritual victory. And when you're living in the victory, let me tell you, you'll face your problems in a totally different way. When you're living in the victory, Christian victory, individually, in the service of the soul winner, and in the witness of the Church, is one of the great themes of Scripture, both Old and New Testament. Notice in verse 2, "The Lord said unto Joshua, See." Now this is the equivalent of the New Testament's constant "behold." When God says "see" or "behold," it's a figure of speech, the big name of which is asterismos. And it simply is saying, "Give me your attention. Here's something you must not miss. Don't just read the words. Don't simply rule past this verse. Here is something of great importance. God draws special attention to it. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, the mighty men of valor. Now that's what he said. Not I will give it into your hand. That would be good. But this is better. I have given it into your hand. You see, when you read the gospel, you have to take note of the things that are already complete in Christ, even though they are yet future in our experience. And Christian victory is one of them. Christian victory is not something that comes as the result of what we do. It comes to us as the result of what Christ has done. On the basis of what He has done, He gives us the promise of a victory already purchased. And it's there to be entered into. Sure, as in the case of the children of Israel at Jericho, our way will be impeded. Sure, there will be times of battle and rigorous trial. But we must understand that the captain of the Lord's host is the captain of every host, including the hosts of Jericho. The Lord has already determined the outcome of the battle. It's not in doubt. He has guaranteed victory to His people. Christian, learn it this morning. When, like Paul, you say, O wretched man that I am, that's your own conscious experience. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's the cry of the spiritual heart. If you don't want to be delivered, it's because you're yet in your sin. But oh, if you delight in the law of God after the inward man, you're crying, who will deliver me? Who will lead me into victory? And the answer is, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is holiness for a Christian. There's victory over sin. There's victory over evil habits. There's victory over the propensities of the flesh. Christians too often are making excuses for their flesh, making excuses for their sin. There are Christians living in what could only be termed vicious pornography. They fill their minds with the filth and the uncleanness of Hollywood. They sit down and they look at licentious, lustful wickedness on television for hour after hour after hour. They read magazines and books that are ungodly and unclean, and then they wonder why they're not living in victory. My friend, I want to tell you, there is Christian holiness. There is Christian victory for every child of God. Matters not what the evil habit or wicked propensity may be. There's power in the blood that saved us from hell, to save us from the power of sin. It's true in every area of our lives. Victory for us as we seek to take our stand for God. Victory for us as we seek to give out the gospel. Victory for us as we get a vision of the mission fields of the world and set out to reach the lost for Christ. There is victory. And ultimately, there's glorious victory for the whole cause of God and Church of Christ. The second Psalm gives us an insight into that final outcome. There you've got the opposition of the world. Why do the people rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You have the rulers of the world combining. The same idea as Isaiah had when he had the, and as the psalmist had when he had the idea of confederacy against God, the rulers of this world getting together against the Lord and against His Christ. Let us break His bands asunder. But he that sits in the heavens will laugh. the Lord will have them in derision. He says, I have declared this decree. He says of his son, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There's not a thing that the world and the devil can do about it. The victory is ours in Christ. Let us understand this, that the church of Jesus Christ labors in the certainty of victory. But it must labor. And that brings me to my final main observation, and it's this, that the Lord sets forth the plan of campaign for His people to achieve that promised victory. And in these first five verses, you have given to Joshua and you've given to us the campaign, the procedure for individual victory, for evangelistic victory, and for ultimate victory for the church. First of all, and I'll go through these steps very quickly. First of all, grasp the promise and proceed by faith. That's what the children of Israel in the days of Joshua did. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That's what we have got to do. Grasp the promise. Live by faith. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let the promise captivate your heart and fill your thought so that you live as a reaction to what God has said, living according to what you believe and what Christ has promised. That's the first grand prerequisite for victory. That's how you live and how you serve, by faith. Now, I'm very tempted not to keep my word. I said I'd be quick through these steps. But every time I say that, I've got to recognize that Christians try to live by rote. Christians try so often to live by guilt. Christians try to live by what they call principles. Well, the Bible says, live by faith. You see, at the heart of a Christian's faith is Christ. Get your eyes on Him. Let who He is, what He has done, and the mighty grace whereby He has united you to Himself and imputed to you His righteousness, let that fill your heart and your mind. And live in the light of that. You'll be living and serving by faith. Then he says, compass the city about. It's a very important action. Compassing the city about. First of all, it emphasizes our worship. They carried the ark around. This was an act of worship. Then it emphasizes our walk. We're walking publicly in the sight of the ungodly. How are we to compass the world? Walking in the worship of the Lord. Walking in the footsteps of the Lord. Walking, as I may put it, in the shadow of the ark of the Lord. That's how we're to walk. That's what we're commanded to do. Then this is an action that calls attention to our work. The Lord did not say, I have given Jericho into your hands, now lie down indolently and wait until the walls fall. No, that's not the way it was to be. That's the way of the hyper-Calvinist. God is going to save His elect, so we don't need to pray, we don't need to witness, we don't need to run after souls, we don't need to get out of breath going after the ungodly. That's what the hyper-Calvinist says. John Calvin would not have recognized them and would have been ashamed that they bore his name. For he certainly got out of breath running after the ungodly. Even the most wicked of the ungodly. Oh no, we're called to work. Compassing the city is a work of obedience. And it's a work of great consistency. And then compassing the city emphasizes our waiting. Oh, this is the trial of faith. This is the patient endurance of faith. Sometimes we wonder, why does the Lord not do it all today? Why does He not do it all immediately? Well, the Lord knows what He's doing. And the sooner we recognize that, the better. We're called to compass the city patiently until the Lord does the work.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.